Open your Bibles, please, to the Song of Solomon, the first chapter, page 705 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading the first six verses of the first chapter of the Song of Solomon. And we'll read these verses responsively. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, page 705. And may we all please stand together for the reading of this passage. The sixth verse is the text verse for tonight's message. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth, therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. And let's pray. Now, Lord, we, of course, are privileged to be here. There's probably no greater privilege in the world than to be in the place where you would choose for us to be. We believe that we're here because thou hast ordained it. We believe then that the purpose is not only a good one, it's one of priority. It's one of great blessing. Help us not to lose the purpose for our being here. Help our minds to be attentive to the preaching of thy word. Grant thy power in this service. Very especially bless our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's probably their theme song, because these are young ladies who've grown up in our church. They're now adults. Several are housewives and mothers. Two are school teachers, one's an attorney, and they've grown up here. And that song was certainly fitting. Thank you, girls. Kids, really, but our kids, and now lovely young ladies, thank you very much. The sermon that I'm going to bring tonight is probably more appropriate for this church than most any church. This is a little one of those little red reset button kind of sermons that's going to, I want to help us to reset this machinery called First Baptist Church of Hammond. The title of my message is the most of the last part of the verse in Song of Solomon 1:6. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. I feel tonight what I'm going to say is very vital to the health of a church like this, and so I trust that you'll listen carefully. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that you've given us this great place, these great people, and this great book. Bless us now as we investigate just another truth from this wonderful, wonderful book. In Jesus' name, amen. Solomon was the king of Israel. He had everything he wanted. He could have wanted for nothing. In fact, he made this statement in the last years of his life, that anything that his heart's desire, that he saw, that he wanted, he got for himself. You name what you'd like to have, Solomon had it. And by the way, it didn't make him happy either. Things have never made anybody happy. Money has never made anybody happy. Homes, houses, cars, stocks, bonds, gold and silver. If they could make anybody happy, Solomon would have been the happiest man in the world. But Solomon had it all. He had 700 wives. I don't know why you're whistling, fellas. I don't know the motive behind it, but that's a heap of wives. As I often say when I come here, that's a lot of hoes across the bathroom bar. But he had 700 wives, and he had 700 combines. 700 concubines. So what's a concubine? That's a substitute for one of the wives. And you haven't got sick. He had a substitute.
One day while Solomon was traveling to a country, Solomon was traveling through the countryside, he saw a beautiful young lady. Well, Solomon had always had any lady that he wanted and placed them in his harem. He was very attracted to this young lady. She was not a young lady in the cultural sphere. She was not a young lady who was affluent. She was just a poor little girl from the hills. But she was beautiful. I want to say this also. You don't buy beauty from Helen Curtis or Avon. You buy beauty from a clean, decent, pure, innocent life. And this little lady had that kind of beauty. She was lovely. Listen to me. Sailors, listen to me. Sailors, listen to me. She was lovely, beautiful. Solomon saw her. Now, I don't care how wicked a man is, and I've been with the wickedest of men. I was a paratrooper in World War II. I was in the infantry first, and then joined the paratroopers. I have seen the most vulgar, vile men alive. But I never saw a man, no matter how vulgar he was, that didn't want a clean, pure, decent wife. Never have. That's why they come here to First Baptist Church, circling like buzzards, because they want one of our girls. But if you're not a clean, decent guy, not going to be, keep your stinking hands off our girls. And girls have enough sense to leave them alone. But Solomon, like any indecent man, immoral man, he felt like that he would prefer to have a clean, sweet, nice young lady. And so he stopped his caravan, as it were, and he spoke to her and asked her if she would become the queen, his new wife. She looked at him and she said something like this. She said, "I'm sorry, but I'm already in love." He said, "Ask who with?" And she said, "Little shepherd boy up in the hills. I'm in love with him." And Solomon said, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, he said, "But I can offer you the nicest wardrobe in the land." She says, "I'd rather have my shepherd boy than the nicest wardrobe in the land." Solomon said, "I can offer you silver and gold." She said, "But I'd rather have my shepherd boy than silver and gold." Solomon said, "But I can offer you fame and fortune." She said, "But I'd rather have my shepherd boy than fame and fortune." Solomon said, "I can offer you a throne." She said, "But I'd rather have my shepherd boy than to have a throne." You get the picture there, don't you? We also have a shepherd, a good shepherd. And the world comes to us and says, especially young people, and says, "Let me offer you fame and fortune." You ought to say with the writer, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold." And but the devil says, "I'll offer you silver and gold. I'll offer you fame and fortune. I'll offer you a nice, beautiful designer clothes. I'll offer you the throne of the world," because the devil is the god of this world. And you say to the devil, "You're going back to hell. I'd rather have Jesus than all you've got to have." Solomon said, "But look, can your shepherd boy offer you a wardrobe like I can offer you?" "No, but I love my shepherd boy." And the people, I'm sure, said, "How foolish you must be, giving up the chance to be the queen, giving up the throne for a little shepherd boy up in the hills." Now, this little story and this little precious, sweet book, tucked away timidly in the Old Testament, deals with this beautiful romance between this shepherd lad and his country girlfriend. But there's one thing the shepherd lad said that arrests my attention, and one mistake that he made. He made this statement in talking to her. He said, "They made me keeper of the vineyards. Not only was I a shepherd, but they made me the keeper of the vineyards." The vine dresser, if you please. And he said, but there's a mistake I made. He said, though I was keeper of others' vineyards, he said, mine own vineyard have I not kept. He no doubt had done a good job at keeping the vineyards of others. No doubt had manicured those vines. And no doubt had made a beautiful vineyard for other people, or beautiful vineyards for other people. He went back home to his own vineyard and found it grown up with weeds, and found it ill-kept and not trimmed. Now, of course, there's a sharp spiritual truth here. In a church like this, most of us have responsibilities in this church. And most of us have responsibilities of helping other people and their vineyards. But it's so easy for us to keep other people's vineyards and not keep our own vineyards. Like a dentist who has bad teeth. Like a mechanic whose car won't run. Like a church sending millions of dollars abroad and not winning anybody to Christ locally. I know a church less than 60 miles where I'm standing right now that gives millions of dollars a year to foreign missions. In 1 year recently, they baptized 4 people. Other vineyards had they kept, but their own vineyard had they not kept. It's like a preacher traveling across the country and telling other pastors and churches how to build great churches and do great works for God. And yet he returns to his own place, and his own place is not what he preaches to other people across the country that their churches ought to be. For many, many years now, for, oh my soul, 35 years, I've been traveling across this country. And for most of those 35 years, I've traveled every Monday and Tuesday. Tomorrow, I'll be flying to California. Last Monday, I flew to Dallas-Fort Worth area. And next week, somewhere else. And I've been traveling across this country. But I have never in all these years come back to a church that was less than what I preached while I was gone. And I have never in all these years neglected my own vineyard here at First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I was talking to a young man, young preacher, when I talked to him, probably 35 years of age, wonderful young man, built a great church, running about 1,800 in Sunday school at the time. And he was becoming nationally known. And I sat down one day in the car and I talked to him and I said, son, I said, let me give you some warning. As you travel around this country, you better be dead sure you give it all you've got while you're home. If you don't watch it, you'll become more enchanted with preaching somewhere else than preaching at home. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've preached in pulpits all across this land and around the world. Over 50,000 sermons I've preached here and around the world. But I'm standing right now in my favorite place to preach. I'd rather preach here than anywhere else in the world. This is my church, and you're my people, and I want to help you. And I'm not going to travel around this country and exhort other preachers to do it and come back home and not do it. And I'm not going to travel across the country and exhort other churches to be on fire for God and come back home and have a dead church here. So I told that young man, I said, son, you watch it very carefully. If you don't watch out, you'll get enchanted. For example, tomorrow night, I'll be introduced. And they'll say something like this. We're glad to have Dr. Jack Hiles with us. Dr. Hiles is Mr. Fundamentalism of our generation. Dr. Hiles, they'll say, I don't agree with them, but I love to hear them say it. They'll say, Dr. Hiles is the Spurgeon of this day. And you don't really know who I am. I mean, they'll introduce me. It may be that people will clap when I stand up. And usually I'll get a standing ovation. And what did I get here this morning? He insulted me and said, we'll have the young fellow at 6 and the old man at 7. You see, I'm saying that, so what happened, this young preacher, he started going around the country, and I never forget, I was preaching down in Texas years ago, and a fellow stood up and said, ladies and gentlemen, he said, tonight we have the man in America whose name is on the lips of every fundamentalist in America. He said, this man needs no introduction. He said, this man is our leader. He said, this man is the man who is the one who all America is talking about. I now introduce to you, he said, what is your name? And so, but I'm saying that this young preacher started going around the country And he got enchanted. And the work at home started going down and down and down and down. Now then, after several years of traveling, I was in the church nearby here recently. And I said, what's the Sunday school attendance run there? What's the attendance? It's gone down from 1,800 to about 1,100 in Sunday school now. I know another preacher got so busy traveling around the country. By the way, when I come home, I don't go to the golf course. When I come home, I don't take a day off. When I get off the airplane Wednesday morning, I hit it running. And I work until I leave. Are you listening to me? And I work until I leave. Monday, I'm actually here part of 6 days a week. But on Tuesday is the only day that I'm gone all day long. And I hit it. Now, I'm saying this. I have no right to travel around the country and keep others' vineyards if my own vineyard have I not kept. Now, let's apply it. Let's take a Bible teacher in a Christian college. Or a Bible teacher in a Christian school, high school, junior high school, grade school. And that Bible teacher teaches the Bible to teenagers in a school or to college age people in a college. But that Bible teacher does not teach the Bible to his own children at home. You see, they made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Hey, do you know who... From whom your children ought to learn the most Bible? Mom and Dad. Did you hear what I said? You've not fulfilled your obligation to God when you drop your kids off at Baptist City or City Baptist, either one, every Monday morning and come back and get them in the afternoon and do it every day and say to some teachers, you trained my children for me. When the Bible said train up a child in the way he was going, should go, he wasn't talking about schools. He was talking about moms and dads. I don't care how much Bible that our young people learn in our college, in our high school, in our junior high school, in our grade school, they all learn the most Bible from mom and dad. Ask your question. You teach the Bible to your kids? Many of you remember the night that we had a little display up here, our family, of a family altar. And you recall when Cindy and Linda and David and Becky were up here, and Mrs. Hiles, and we quoted Scripture. Our kids could quote the first psalm, the 19th psalm, the 22nd psalm, the 23rd psalm, the 24th psalm, the 51st psalm, the 91st psalm, the 100th psalm, much of the 103rd psalm, 126th psalm, 128th psalm, 121st psalm, 122nd psalm, 123rd psalm, 124th psalm, 125th psalm, 126th psalm, 127th psalm, 128th psalm, and on. They can quote the Christmas story. They can quote much of the Bible. And not only that, when they became teenagers, I sat at the kitchen table at night for the hour and talked to our kids and talked to them about life. Now, I'm no great example of this, but I'm simply saying this. I'm saying there are people in this room tonight who teach more Bible away from home than you teach at home, and they made you the keeper of the vineyards, but your own vineyard have you not kept. I'm talking tonight about Sunday school teachers who get wrapped up in a Sunday school class, and you should. I mean, you ought to love that class and train that class. But I'm talking to folks tonight who teach the Sunday school Bible at Sunday school, and yet the truth is your own young people, your own children, you do not teach. They made you keeper of the vineyard, but your own vineyard have you not kept. I'm talking about a Christian school teacher who goes to Hammond Baptist schools and teaches school. And you teach those boys and girls. And thank God for you. And thank God for you folks that don't teach your kids. Thank God somebody loves them enough to teach them what you ought to teach them at home. But I want to say this. The Christian school was never meant to be a substitute for the Christian home. The big purpose of a Christian school is that there ought to be somewhere where young people can go and study biology without being taught that man came from an ape, a fish, and a one-celled creature. There ought to be some place where a child can learn English without reading curse words in the English book. There ought to be some place where a child can get an education that backs up what mom and dad teach at home. But the truth is, it's so easy, and I'm not scolding you. I'm pushing the red reset button. It's so easy for us to be so busy doing our outside jobs, teaching in our Christian school, teaching in our Sunday school, taking care of children's choirs, and taking care of church work and our own vineyards at home, have we not kept?
so easy for a preacher like myself to preach to others and not live or try to live in my own life what I ask you to do. I will not ask you to read the Bible unless I live in this book. I will not ask you to pray unless I live on my knees. I will not ask you to walk with God unless I walk with God. I'm saying it's so easy for a preacher to get so wrapped up in the vineyards of others that his own vineyard has he not kept. It's easy for ladies to teach a ladies' Sunday school class and teach the ladies what they ought to be and go home and be a poor wife at home. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but other vineyards have I not kept. It's easy for a lady. And in this church we have numbers of ladies who travel. And I do not know of a single one who's anything less than a wonderful Christian. I don't know of a single hypocrite. But it's so easy for a lady to travel around the country teaching other ladies how to be good wives and come home and not be a good wife yourself. And teaching other ladies how to be good mothers and come home and not be a good mother yourself. And teaching other ladies how to serve in the church and come home and not serve in the church yourself. I want to tell you something, brother. The longer I live, the more I believe in the local church. And the longer I live, the more I believe people ought to be active in the local church. If you teach in Howells Anderson College, that's not your work for God. The local church is your work for God. Now, I want to say this too. If you teach in Howells Anderson College and teach a Sunday school class at First Baptist Church, your Sunday school class is more important than your college class. I'm not interested in building a college or a high school or a grade school or City Baptist schools where the teachers belong to one team and the church members here belong to another. Bless God, that job out there at the school is just your vocation. A plumber goes and he's a plumber during the week, but he comes to church and serves God here at this church. And the fact that you teach Bible at Howells Anderson College, or the fact that you're on the faculty or administration at Howells Anderson College, does not give you an excuse for not serving God through the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And you say again, most important institution around here is this institution right here. This institution more important than the college, more important than the high schools, more important than the junior high, more important than the grade schools. So easy for you to keep others' vineyards, and yet your own vineyard have you not kept. I was preaching for a man. I won't tell you who he is, so no need to ask me. But not around here, a distant state. And his wife was not there when I was there. And by the way, I have no problem with our ladies who travel and speak. None whatsoever. I think the greatest lady speakers in America today are sitting right here in this auditorium tonight. But this fellow, he was sort of mad. I said, "Where is your wife?" I wrote this down so I could quote it. He said, "She's at a church telling wives to be what I wish she were." Don't ask me who he is. I don't want to embarrass Brother Colston. No way I'd do it. Of course, they're sickening. I mean, they're... Don't drive down Calumet Street after church. They're necking and petting as they drive home from church. Well, he's not doing much necking and petting these days. But I told you I got my hand another night. Didn't know it was them. And I said, "Boy, that guy can't drive straight. That woman's sitting right up there. You could have put a whole army of people between her and the other door over here." I said, "That's sickening." And finally, I made a beeline and got around him, and there it was, Johnny and Elaine. 73 years old. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying let's be at home what we are, what we teach others to be away from home. Let's be in our houses what we teach others here at church to be in their houses. It's so easy for a person to teach soul winning and not be a soul winner. It's so easy for a person to teach on prayer or preach on prayer and not pray themselves. It's so easy for us to be concerned about somebody else's prayer life and keep their vineyards of prayer, but our own vineyards have we not kept. It's so easy for us to teach and say, "Live in the Bible, study the Bible. You got to have the Bible." Well, I want to tell you, teachers have to have the Bible as much as learners have to have the Bible. And it's so easy for us. You see, there's some kind of a mentality in the Lord's work that we get to a place where we're leaders, and that exempts us from the basics. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Every leader in this room needs this book just like every follower does. Every leader in this room needs prayer just like every follower does. Every leader in this room needs to walk with God just like every follower does. Or else we'll have to say with the shepherd lad, they made me keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard, or vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. As we teach our young people to have pure hearts, we who teach must have pure hearts. As we teach our young people to be clean-minded, we who teach must likewise be clean-minded. You know, let me put it this way. None of us can fully practice what we preach. Somebody asked me not long ago, said, you practice what you preach? I said, my soul, no. Did you ever try that? I preach this book. I can't practice all this book, but I can give it my best. In Matthew 5:48, Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And what he means is this, that is in the perfect tense, which means, be ye therefore, be becoming perfect. You be on your way to being perfect. So here's what I have written down here. None of us has arrived, but we can travel side by side with those whom we teach to travel. None of us has arrived, but we can travel side by side with those whom we teach to travel. I must be becoming. I can't be all I preach because I'm human. I'm bound with this lump of clay here. Bigger lump most all the time. And I'm bound with this lump of clay. And I can't be all I preach, but I can be becoming nearer all the time what I preach. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I'm saying this. I'm saying a hypocrite is not one who does not practice what he preaches. A hypocrite is one who's not getting closer to what he preaches. Now, listen to me. More Christian leaders are in this room tonight than in any church in America tonight. On this platform, these men travel. Ed Lapina is the outstanding, recognized as the outstanding playboy in America today. No doubt about it. He's Mr. Youth Director in America. All of fundamentalism looks to Ed Lapina. Now, he's got to be sure that he not is all he preaches, but that he is arriving or journeying, traveling toward perfection. Jesus said, be therefore perfect. He isn't commanding us to perfect. He's commanding us to be headed that direction. Ray Young travels across the country. One of the finest preachers in America. One of the hardest working men in America. Now, all down the line, Brother Phil here, who prayed for us a while ago. I mean, Chris. I always call him Phil. I don't know why. Chris Stansel. I thought Phil Donahue was who I thought he was, but beg your pardon? You know who he is? He looks just like you. Mr. Whitehair? But Chris considered one of the outstanding young up-and-coming preachers in America. John Colston, Mr. Associate Pastor in America. All these men up here. Jack Scott here preaches across the country. Roy Moffitt. Well, Mrs. Moffitt does. Brother Roy takes care of the kids. Reverend JoJo Moffitt covers America for God. Roy Moffitt. Wonderful, wonderful speaker, and considered an expert in the bus ministry. And on you could go with these men. Now, and all over this building, in the choir, in the audience, Christian leaders, some across America, some in the Christian grade school, some in the junior high school, some in the high school, some in the college, some, are you listening to me? Hey, some in the Sunday school. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, it is hypocrisy for us to spend our lives working on other people's vineyards, and our own vineyard have we not kept. I was preaching in a distant state a few months ago. A pastor walked the aisle, which is not unusual. But that pastor walked the aisle and he prayed at the altar. And during the invitation, he got up and he came up to me and he said, Dr. Hiles, I want to confess a sin to you. Boy, I got ready to take notes, you know. And I want to confess a sin to you. I said, what is it? He said, Dr. Hiles, I'm quoting. He said, I am preaching it and my people are practicing it. I am preaching it and my people are practicing it. I am supposed to preach to you on prayer and I am supposed to pray. I am supposed to preach to you on this book, living in this book, and I am supposed to live in this book. I am supposed to preach to you on walking with God, and I am supposed to walk with God. And those of you that have been given the responsibility of other people's vineyards, it is your job to see to it that your vineyard's in good shape. What does that mean? That means that I must practice at home, far away from home, I teach others to practice. That means I'm to try to be inside the four walls of my house. I'm to try to be what I preached this morning. It does not mean that I'll always properly restrain myself. It means I'm to try to do so. If I took care of your vineyards, sometimes I would find some weeds growing up in your vineyards. And I'd have to chop those weeds. And it's the same thing is true in my own vineyard. I might find some weeds growing in my own vineyard, but I'm supposed to be chopping those weeds too. First Baptist Church will remain a great church as long as we're not a bunch of performers who come to perform to each other on the Lord's Day and go home not to practice what we preach on Sunday. Church is not a performance. Church is a place to gain strength, to face the weak, to become a stronger Christian. And this little shepherd lad, it just may be this little shepherd lad got so much in love he forgot to take care of his own vineyard. It just may be that he swooned so much over his sweet little country girl that he forgot to take care of his own vineyard. Ask you a question. What's your prayer life tonight? Oh, I didn't say how many talks do you have on prayer. I said, what's your prayer life tonight? Hey, let me ask you a question. What's your Bible study and Bible reading life tonight? Hey, I didn't ask you how many talks you have on how to understand the Bible. I'm asking you, what's your Bible study life tonight? Hey, I'm asking you, what is your walk with God tonight? Oh, I'm not asking you on your good sermons or outlines or lectures on how to walk with God. I'm asking you, how is your walk with God tonight? Let me ask you a question. How is your relationship inside the four walls of your house? How do you treat the people that live where you live? I didn't ask you about your lectures on the home. I didn't ask you about your talks on how to be a good wife or a good husband or a good father or a good mother. I ask you, in what shape is your vineyard in tonight? What am I supposed to do? I must practice at home. What away from home I teach others to practice. I must do at my church what I teach others to do when I'm at their churches. I must pray as I want you to pray. I must study this book as I want you to study this book. I must work for God as I want you to work for God. The more people, how many of you tonight are full-time in the Lord's work? Would you raise your hand, please? Keep your hands up. How many of you are Sunday school teachers? Would you join us by raising your hand, please? All right. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Now, what I'm saying is this, and there are others. They're deacons, and they're Sunday night Bible club teachers, and they're youth workers, and they're choir leaders, and so forth. But the tragedy is, if we don't watch out, we become performers. I never will forget that day, Sunday morning. I saw a couple get out of the car over here across the street in the parking lot, and I happened to be out on the sidewalk, and I'm hardly ever out there on the sidewalk when folks come. I'm usually in my office eating. But I'm hardly ever on the sidewalk. But that day I had to go across the street for something that's on the sidewalk. And here this couple were coming across the street. She was letting him have it. By the way, she was a Sunday school teacher in this church and a very respected person. And she was letting him have it. I don't understand it. Why she spent an hour putting on her face and then made it look like that. She let him have it. And then all of a sudden she saw me. And she said, "Good morning, Pastor. Isn't the Lord Jesus good?" That's what I'm talking about. She reminded me of that story I've told you on the first and third Sunday of every month since I've been here. About the little boy that had a frog. He grabbed that frog by the leg. He whacked it against the sidewalk. He whacked it against the side of the house. He came in. He said, and the frog was dead. He said, "Mama, guess what I did?" He's holding up that dead frog. He said, "I whacked him against the microphone." He said, "I whacked him against the sidewalk. And I whacked him against the side of the house. And then I hit him like that. And then I stomped him like that." Looked over and there was a pastor there. Little boy said, "And then the Lord called him home." And that's the way most of us live. We have a pastor's face, and then we have a husband's face. We have one face on Sunday morning and one face on Monday morning. This church will remain great as long as the people in this church keep our own vineyards as well as we keep the vineyards of others. You don't have to turn to it, but I want to read it for you. Hope I can find it. Just sit there. Here it is. Paul said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway." Now, wait a minute. That word castaway is not talking about running off with somebody else's husband or wife. That word castaway is not talking about a deacon going out to the nightclubs and getting drunk. That word castaway means disproved. He says, "I buffet my body." I like the other translation better. "I buffet my body." That's what it says. "I buffet my body." Now I like a buffet restaurant so I can practice what the Bible teaches. That's preaching. I don't preach the Bible. Well, you like it or not. Paul says, "I buffet my body." He said, "I keep my body in subjection." Why? He said, "Because when I preach to others, I want God to approve the life that I live." He was saying the same thing that the shepherd lad said. "They made me keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept." Ask your question tonight. What shape's your vineyard in? Huh? What shape's your prayer vineyard in? Oh, you're mighty good at talking about prayer, but I'm talking about, are you mighty good at praying? Hey, what shape is your Bible vineyard in tonight? Oh boy, you got some good talks on how to study the Bible, but do you study the Bible? What kind of shape's your Bible vineyard in? Hey, what kind of shape's your soul-winning vineyard in? Hey, what kind of shape's your... Some of you folks, you're good leaders, but you don't even come to church on Wednesday night. What kind of shape's your church attendance vineyard in? What kind of shape is your attitude vineyard in tonight? Oh, you teacher boys and girls, be ye kind one to another. You boys and girls ought to say to you and your husband, be ye kind one to another. Paul said, "I want to be approved." He's not talking about if I preach to others and I myself become a reject. He's not talking about that at all. He's saying, I fear that I will preach to others things that I'm not trying to do myself. What kind of shape's your vineyard in tonight? Must you say with the shepherd lad, they made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. I do not claim at all to be a great Christian, but I claim this. I claim that I'm trying. I do not claim at all to be a model of Christianity, but I claim that I'm trying. When Paul said, I buffet my body daily, he was saying, I have a tough time with it. He was saying, every day, my body rises up and says, I'll take over. Paul said, I knock it down every day. He was having a tough time. Paul wasn't saying, I'm perfect. He was saying, I'm trying to be. He wasn't saying, I've arrived. He said, I'm on the journey. And I'm on the same journey I'm trying to get you to travel. And that's what I'm doing. Let's keep this church like it ought to be. I thought about Dan tonight when he stood up here and that wonderful family was up here. When he said, choir, he talked about you tonight. He said there are people in that choir that have been there for so many years. That's what all of our people say. Many of them say they come back home, who grew up in this church. They come back home and they look up here and they see faces in this choir that were there when they were here as children or young people. And they say, boy, I like that. Now, this church is a great church. But let's keep it great 4 years from now when the Johnsons come back again. If we do, each of us, especially those of us in places of responsibility, have to watch it all the time. Because God has given us the responsibility of keeping the vineyards of others. And it is so easy to keep somebody else's vineyard and to come home to your own and find it grown up with thistles and thorns and weeds. Let's do some vineyard cleaning tonight. Those of us, especially who teach others and train others and try to help them to become what Dan Johnson has become as he grew up in this church. But let's be very careful that while we work on the vineyards of boys and girls, men and women, let's be careful lest we fail to keep our own vineyards, our Heavenly Father. I pray tonight that you'd use this little simple message to add some years to the life of the old church downtown. I pray that you'd help those of us especially who have places of responsibility. Those of us who have bus routes, work on bus routes, teach Sunday school classes, work full-time service for God. May we not be so busy keeping the vineyards of others that we turn home and find that thorns and thistles and weeds have grown over our own vineyard. Amen. Shall we stand?